We are recording. And it should be recording this week because the lights are all the colors they're supposed to be. So, Lord, we do thank you for this time tonight, Jesus. Thank you for just being with us during the worship time. You're just so amazing how you minister and how you come and how you... I just can't put it into words. You're amazing. You're more than amazing, Lord. That's all I have to say. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do the very thing that Jeff prayed tonight, Lord. He didn't even know what I'm speaking on tonight. And he quoted the scripture that we'll be looking at. And it's just so evident how you are speaking to this body, Lord. And I just pray that we would have ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us individually and as a group of believers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are looking at tonight the blessings of learning that God is enough. And one of those blessings is letting God choose for you. Letting Him choose for you. The text is James 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist. Some translations say vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Think about how many times we do that. We plan and plan and plan and plan and plan, and you can get a phone call that changes all your plans. Yeah. It can happen to every one of us. Every single one of us. There's another translation that said, all such boasting and tomorrow like that is evil. It's evil. Because only God knows what tomorrow holds. Only He knows how your story is supposed to play out. Only He knows the bumps in the road that He's allowing to come into your life for a purpose, to grow you, to mature you, to strengthen your faith, to build character, to give you hope, perseverance. We read that in Romans. All the trials we go through is for that purpose. Oswald Chambers says, as soon as you begin to live the life of faith in God, fascinating and luxurious prospects will open up before you. And these things are yours by right, but if you are living the life of faith, you will exercise your right to waive your rights and let God choose for you. God is almighty. Only God knows what we need. He created us. And only He knows what we need. I had someone say to me before service what I needed, what God will probably do. And I was just like, wow. So you know. And then if I gave them the facts, they were like, oh. I said, yeah, that's not the plan they gave me. God knows what I need. And I'm trusting His plan. Romans 8, if you remember, we started with the scripture verse when we started this Bible study, Romans 8:32. God who did not spare His own Son gave Himself up for all of us. Will He not also give us all things? And we have to keep reminding ourselves of that, especially when things come your way, and it can be so overwhelming that, Lord, how are we going to do this? When you start getting bills that like are off the chart, and you're like, where's this money coming from? And the Lord tells you, don't worry. I got this. If I put you in this pathway, I will provide everything you need. And you look at that scripture verse, and if he gave his son, of course he's going to provide what we need as we're allowing him to choose for us. That's the key. Let him choose for you. Even if he chooses the pathway you don't even want to walk down, he says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Because we just sang, I am not alone. We either really believe that or we're just singing that. And there's no belief in what we're singing. In the Bible study, this comes from what she had written there. She said, God gave the highest and the best and given his son. What makes us think that he will not continue to give us the best? How it must grieve our Lord to stand by and watch us manage our own lives and in the process make wrong decisions. Choices that may have lifelong repercussions. How many times do we see that in the Old Testament? A lot. And the reason why that happens is because there's times that we do things according to what we think. Well, this is what I think. This is what I think. This is how it should be. Or this is so-and-so's experience, so that means that's going to be your experience in that situation. Because I know. And it's like, oh, are you God? We do things according to what makes sense to us, according to our natural reasoning mind. And what happens when we do that, we depend on ourselves to guide us rather than God's Holy Spirit to guide us. By truly committing things to prayer and saying, Lord, show me. What do you want me to do? I know what they want me to do or what so-and-so is saying I should do. What do you want me to do? Because your pathway is so much better than what they want me to do or so-and-so is saying I need to do. Your way is the best way. And to get direction from him, you really have to be still and seek him and be in the word so that he can speak clearly to you. You know, reality is, God stands ready to take over for us when we give him permission to choose his path for us. When you say, Lord, I'm not going to try to control this. I'm not going to try to make something happen. I'm not going to like manipulate things to get what I want. I'm just going to let you choose. That takes faith. Real faith. The path that is always the most suitable, the most honorable, the most advantageous, the most blessed is the best. And only he knows what that is. Only he knows what that is. Jim Elliot, I read this several weeks ago and it's just stayed with me. And I put it on my refrigerator today. Said, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. So you are leaving the choice with him, whatever comes your way, you have to believe, God, this is your best for me. This is the pathway you want me to take. And this is your best for me. So then the question is, will I be obedient or am I not going to be obedient? To do what you're telling me to do, through the people maybe that you've assigned in the situation. The first point, this is God's ways are always the best. And when you think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7, he said, this time I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay for a while, if the Lord will let me. And you see that in the book of Acts, too. They were going to go to a place they had planned on going, and the Holy Spirit stopped them from going there because he wanted them to go someplace else. Paul was seeking the Lord's will in all things. And we have to learn from him how to do that, so that when there's a detour, we're not like knocked down to the ground for the count because it didn't go the way I think. But that might be his best. That might be his best. Again, Oswald Chambers said, certainty is the mark of a common sense life. Gracious uncertainty is the mark of the spiritual life. To be certain of God means that we are uncertain in all of our ways. Are we uncertain in all of our, or are we certain in all? No, I know. I even know what you need. I know. How many times do we impose that on people? We do not know what a day may bring forth. Remember James, the text we open with. We don't know what a day brings forth, what tomorrow holds. But when we are rightly related to God, life is full of spontaneous, joyful uncertainty and expectancy. A Christian is someone who trusts in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, not in his own abilities. And again, if you reflect on how much do I trust in my own abilities versus truly trusting and putting my faith in the wisdom and knowledge of God, who formed our inward parts. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what's wrong in us. Only he knows. You know, I was sharing with someone, I've been telling people my miracle is that they found this cancer, because the cancer is the size of a grain of rice. That's how small it is. But he saw it there all along. He knew it was there, and he made sure they found it. I rather trust in the knowledge and wisdom of God. Even though it could be scary at times. Because you don't know sometimes where that pathway is going to take you. But he says, while you're on that pathway, will you trust me? Will you trust me? We sang it tonight. He promised he's with us. He's Emmanuel. Whatever tomorrow holds, whatever plans are changed that we don't like when our plans get changed, because we've been planning this for all these months or years. And he's saying, it's not going to happen. Are we okay with that? You know, there's a bunch of biblical examples that were trying to manage their own life that was in this Bible study. Lot is one of them in Genesis 13, 1 through 13. I'm not going to read the scriptures. I just gave you the reference there. But we all know the consequences of Lot's choice, right? Lot chose what appealed to his senses. He moved his tent towards Sodom. Of all places, Sodom, because it was well watered. It was green. He saw and he was just drawn to go there, to the wicked place. It was a place of evil. And we know the consequences he faced for that, right? His wife turned into a pillar of salt. The angels had to drag him out of there because he was hesitating. offering his daughters to the it's like, how can you even think that? But you see how the culture influenced them. And we know the consequences he faced. Then we look at Ruth, and the references are there for her life, the consequences. We see the consequences of her obedience. We saw the consequences of Lot's choice, right? He chose Sodom. But then we look at Ruth and the consequences of her obedience when she went to Boaz's field to glean, just like her mother-in-law had told her. And she obtained favor by Boaz. And Boaz had heard of her good reputation. He heard how she had taken care of her mother-in-law, how she left everything to follow the God of Israel. And she wound up becoming Boaz's wife, who gave birth to Obadiah, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. So we see the consequences of her choices by being obedient to what God was instructing her to do through her mother-in-law, really. Because we see how her story ended. David, we see the consequences of his sin. In 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 12, God sent Nathan to David to confront his sin that he was trying to hide for a whole year. And when he confronted him, David realized, God saw what I did. He knows every single thing I've been doing and I did in secret. And there was a word given to him through the prophet Nathan that the sword will never depart from his house because of his sin, the consequences of his sin, and that God would raise up evil against him from his own family. His own son, Absalom, tried to take over his kingdom. His own son turned on him, and others too. And God told David that he would give his wives in a way that I can't say because there's young girls here, that all the neighbors would see. And we know that happened with Absalom. It's in the scriptures for us to read about. And David really repented. We have Psalm 51, it's his prayer of repentance. But he was also told that the child that was born to him was gonna die. So we see it's amazing, his story, the consequences of his sin, but yet he still chose to worship the Lord in it because he knew God was good, God was merciful, that God hadn't dealt with him according to what his sins deserved. So we're looking at their examples because these are men and women that they were either going to do life God's way or their way, the way they thought. We heard about Gehazi not too long ago, the servant to Elisha when Naaman was healed, the consequences of his obedience, right? Gehazi. Naaman was a leper, and a little girl from Israel who was a slave to Naaman's mistress told her about the prophet in Samaria, Elisha. The man of God will come and wave his hand over you and you're gonna be healed. So he wanted the man of God to come and wave, and when he didn't, he was angry. But yet a message was brought to him. If you dip down 7 times in the Jordan, God will heal you. God would heal you. And he was in a rage because, again, this is not how I wanted it to be. He wasn't accepting it. He wasn't accepting it. But he was obedient, and he did what God told him to do, and he received his healing. And not only that, he was saved in the midst of it, because he said, your God is God, is God. So we see the consequence of his obedience, doing things God's way versus the way he wanted it to be done. And then we all know the story of the rich young ruler, right? Mark 10, verse 17 through 27. We see the consequences of his choices. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus was straight to the point, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But he went away sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus said, how difficult for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. So, did he ever receive salvation? We don't know. But there were consequences for him walking away from the Lord. So what we see in this section here, God's ways are always the best. And like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:7, I would like to visit you, but if God has other plans, if I'm paraphrasing it, and I don't wind up visiting you, it's okay. Because he has something better. He has something better. And that's what we have to remind ourselves in those times. God has something better. Because if we don't, if we get angry, bitter, resentful, that is not a good place to be spiritually. God, you have something better. So help me to just let it go and follow in the pathway you're leading me in. Because again, as Jim Elliot said, God's always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Lord, you know whether or not we're supposed to do this. You know whether or not we're supposed to make this decision. You know better than I do whether or not we're supposed to go at this time, or should we wait and delay. You know better than I do. You know better. So the second point there is God's best is always wrapped up in love. And we have to remind ourselves of that. It's his love. It's his love when he steps in and he says, no. God is very intimately acquainted with us. He knows what we need. In Psalm 139, we see that. We've gone through that psalm numerous times. He knows our sitting down, our rising up. He knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows everything. It was so neat when I went for my MRI on Monday, because on the way there, the Lord was just singing to me. And I am not alone was one in the fire, and he will carry you with the three songs that stood out to me. So when I got there, the nurse had asked me, she said, you know, I could put headphones on you, you could listen to Christian music. What kind of music would you like to listen to? So I said, put on Christian. So I figured, okay. She said, I have some great Christian music I'll put on for you. So I said, okay. So I'm in the tube, I kept calling in the tube, and listening to just different worship songs that were playing. And the last one was Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. So on my Karen Bridge page, I had asked for prayer before I went, but then when I came home, I wrote down the songs and just how God met me and all that. And I just love Kathy Gallagher. She's got a sense of humor about her. So I'm going to even read it to you what she wrote, if I don't lose the recording here, because it was just, it was so Kathy Gallagher. Oh, let me see where it is. Yeah. So I put, thank you for your prayers, all done. Songs Jesus sang over me all the way there was, I am not alone, there's another in the fire, and I will carry you. And while in the MRI machine, she gave me Christian music to listen to. My end song in the tube was, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. So Kathy says to me, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you go through the tube, my presence will go with you. Praise the Lord. And I said, Kathy, that's just like perfect. Thank you for that. I just had a laugh at that. But that's reality. That's reality. That is reality. We fear so many unknowns, but the reality is he's in the unknowns. He's already there, right? You found that out, didn't you? Yeah. He's already there. He's already there, working it out. Putting everything in the place where it needs to be. His best is always wrapped in love. And we have to see that. whatever he lays out, Lord, this is your love to me. You're not against me, you're for me. Remember, we looked at that several weeks ago. God is not against us, he's for us. The enemy will lie. He'll lie. And, you know, I hate to say this. Sometimes he uses people right in the body of Christ to speak a word that is like a seed that just germinates this. And you got to fight to get that out. I've said to Brenda several times, I don't know why when, and this happened when my mother was diagnosed with cancer 11 years ago, people would tell me all the horror stories. It's like, why are you telling me this? Why don't you encourage me? I don't know why people have to do that. Yeah, well, I know so-and-so, and this was happening. That's not the thing you want to hear at that moment. We're called to encourage one another, not tell each other horror stories. You know, it's just like, because you leave a seed in that person's mind, and then they have to battle through that thing. It's not a mercy. It is not a mercy. Everyone's story is different. And that was one of the things they told me when I met with them. Every cancer story is not the same. Every treatment is not the same. Just the type of cancer I have, there's 17 different kinds of ductal cancer. 17. That's just that. There's other kinds of breast cancer too. And they said everyone's story and everyone's treatment is different, so you can't compare 1 + 1 = 2. And I'm learning that. I'm learning that. God's best is always wrapped up in love. Psalm 25, verse 8 through 10. The psalmist said, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way, and the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches in his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And this has to become reality to us when God is choosing a pathway that we don't want to walk on or that we fear. That, Lord, all your paths are mercy and truth. And you keep your covenant with your people. And your testimonies are a sure thing. They are a sure thing, your testimonies. So many saints that have gone before us have testified to the realities of the testimonies of God, that you can trust them. He's the only thing you can trust. Psalm 32:8, he promises again, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with your eye, with my eye. And he does. He does. We had Monday I had 3 appointments to meet with the surgeon, genetic counselor, and blood work. And something just wasn't sitting right with the genetic counseling and the blood work. And we kept seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. And I said to Jeff this morning, what should I do? He said, cancel the appointments. I said, yeah, I'm sensing that too. I don't have children. I don't have grandchildren. I have one brother that only doesn't have children either, nor grandchildren. So why am I taking this test? Why am I meeting with these people? Because my mother had cancer when she was 72. Which they told me that if you have cancer after 50, if it's before 50, then you should get checked. But 72, my GYN told me months ago, or years ago, I have a new one. She told me the same thing, the new one. When you get it that old, you don't have to worry about it being passed. So I said to Jeff, I said, why would I want to know if I was positive? So then I'm sitting around worrying for the next time, or worrying about getting ovarian cancer. Why would I want to know this? Why would I want to know? Because what could I do about it anyway? I'm going to have to trust the Lord. And I'm not going to start cutting body parts off my body, because how do I know I'm even going to live that long? I mean, really, we've been seeking the Lord on this. It's like, Lord, what do you want us to do in this? So again, I looked at, and this is just to testify, the Lord saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Jim Elliot again. It was like, okay, Lord. That quote, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. And I'm saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm totally trusting you for Monday with my surgical team and what they come up for me for, how to get my healing, because the Lord spoke to me through Naaman weeks ago that he was going to choose, and I knew he was going to choose that pathway. So it's like, okay, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking. So I'm totally trusting him for Monday when I meet with them, that whatever they tell me, that's, I have to do whatever they tell me. But I said to Jeff, okay, this whole genetic thing, I just, it's not sitting right with me. And I got to decide if I'm going to keep these appointments or not. So I read that quote to him, put it on my refrigerator, and I went to my Cambridge site, and I have a cousin. She's 80. She just turned 80. She's a solid, strong Christian. She lives in Michigan. And do you know, right after I canceled the appointments, because I canceled them both, I'm just keeping my appointment with my surgeon, my cousin puts this on my Carebridge site. I'm going to have to find it, sorry. But it's just a testimony of how God leads us here. That was this morning. She says, she gave me Jeremiah 39:18. Now, mind you, I canceled these appointments, right? She gives me the scripture verse. She says, for I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. So then I'm going through a cancer devotional, okay, that I went through 11 years ago with my mom. And I do my reading after that. And I'm going to read what's in here, because I sent it to Jeff. I was like, the Lord has definitely told us we made the right decision here. Let me see if I find this here. That's tomorrow. So she's saying her situation is completely different from mine. But she is saying here, okay, she had went through a mastectomy and fear was ruling her heart, and she was reading all these books on breast cancer, and she was fearful of the future. She was convinced she was going to die and not see her four grandchildren mature to adulthood, and she cried and begged God to give her courage, and he was silent. She went through chemotherapy and went on a retreat from church, and then she started talking to someone at one of the leaders at church about her fear of dying. And the leader looked at her in the eyes and said, when did God tell you that you were going to die of cancer? And she told her, well, God had been silent. And she responded in the tone of an amused parent saying, do you understand now? And it suddenly became clear to her. She had been consumed with things she did not know and would not know unless God chose to reveal them to her. And she realized that God wanted her to be silent and to entrust her future and its unknowns into his faithful care. And it was that last sentence that I said, we did the right thing, Jeff. He wants us to trust our future and the unknowns into his faithful care. See, taking those tests would not do that. Canceling those appointments does that. It's saying, God, I'm letting you choose the pathway before me. You know how my story's supposed to play out. I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to know Why? I can't change it anyway. I can't change it anyway. So I'm just going to rest. And we're both like at total peace about it. It's like, yeah. Now someone else, you would tell someone else, they say, oh, you're crazy. You should get those tests done. You're crazy. And it wasn't a problem. I canceled them. They said, fine. If ever you want to do them, just let us know. Do you know to this day, my mother's going to be 85 in July, and they're still trying to convince her to take those tests? And she keeps saying, why? I'm 85 years old. Why would I take that test? God promises us, I will instruct you. I'm just showing you practically how he does this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And he does. He really, really does. Warren Wiersbe said, God expects us to use our brains and makes plans, but he also expects us to submit those plans to him and let him make the final decision. Let him make the final decision. When we have a decision to make, we should gather all the facts, seek wise counsel. We make our plans. We commit ourselves and our plans to the Lord. We listen to his word and we wait before him for his leading. Sometimes God leads us through a Bible promise or warning. And sometimes while we're at worship with God's people, like we were tonight, he speaks through a song, a scripture, doesn't he? How many times has he done that? Or he may direct us through providential circumstances. And that is so, so true. That's my testimony. These 30 years of being here in Kentucky, this is my testimony. I've seen God do this over and over and over and over and over again. And he's going to keep doing it because this is who he is. And you all have a testimony of that. Because God has met you in these ways too, through different trials. So my third point here is resting in whatever he chooses. Resting in whatever he chooses. And I'm going to share with you why this is so important. The other day I had a counseling session with a pharmacist from Lexington. And it was neat because as I'm counseling her, I was having my last session with her because I'm going to take some time off once I start my treatments. And I wanted to set her up with some stuff to keep working on. So I pulled out a book on my bookshelf and I told her, this will be really good for you to go through, As Silver Refined by Kay Arthur. Went through it years ago. And as I'm pulling it out, giving it to her, I said, I need to go through that again too. I'm gonna go through that again too. So we both go through it, okay? So in her book, she talks about the 5 deadly D's. And this is why resting in whatever he chooses is important, because this is a downward spiral that's so easy to fall into if we're not resting in whatever he chooses for us. The first is distraction, which could be the pressures or the pleasures of life. Or we could get so busy doing ministry that now it starts leading to deception, where we're not spending time in God's word and at his feet. So it's easier to become deceived. Thinking, I'm hearing from God. Someone called me this week and asked me, how do you know the voice of God? How do you learn by the Spirit? And I said, if I'm going to give you a sentence or two, God is never going to contradict himself. Whatever his word says, he's not going to contradict himself. I said, just remember that and you'll be good. But you got to be in the word to know what does God say. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. So we have to be careful of distractions, and they could be good things that take us away from spending time at his feet or being in his word, and we're easily being deceived, Remember, Jesus said in John 8:44 about the Satan, he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And we have to remember, Satan has always challenged God's authority, this authenticity of his word. Has God really said from the very beginning? And that's what happens when we're not spending time with the Lord or in his word. We start questioning God. You know, just, and the enemy's right there to think and speak his lies. Right there. And we're questioning God. And any lie that Satan can convince us of will have a negative effect on how we think, how we act, and respond in certain situations. So we have to be on guard. I had, like I said earlier, someone said something to me that was not the right thing to say because they didn't have all the facts, but it left a seed. I was telling Sarah Jane it left a seed, and I had to battle through it in worship. I really had to battle through it in worship. Because if we don't battle through that, it's going to have a negative effect on how we think, act, and respond, which leads to disappointment. So the first deadly disease, distraction, deception, disappointment, comes when our expectations aren't being met. Well, this is not how I expected it to be. It's supposed to go like this. According to who? According to who? We have to see disappointments as God's appointments. Like Roxanne said to me the other day when we were in counseling, the whole trip to New York, God chose for us. You're not going now. And everyone's fine with it in New York. I'm the only one that was upset over it. Everyone else was fine. But when Roxanne said that to me, he has another plan. It's like, yeah. So why am I so disappointed? He does have another plan. And it's probably better than the one we were planning. So when a disappointment comes, realize it's his appointment. Otherwise, you're going to spiral down further into discouragement, meaning that without courage. Get so discouraged that there's no courage there to take the next step. We want to give up. We want to quit because we're disheartened. We want to run rather than deal with the situation. Which will lead to the next deadly D, depression. And there's different degrees of depression. There's dejection, which is the lowness of spirit, a feeling of spiritual and emotional fatigue. If that's not reversed, if you don't start pulling out of that, it leads to despair and then demoralization, where hope is entirely abandoned and is replaced by apathy and numbness. And then fear becomes so overwhelming and it paralyzes us. And then you could sink down even further into a disorder. Meaning, she doesn't mean disorders because Kay Arthur doesn't think that way. She's totally biblical. But to the point where you're now being reckless in your actions and you don't care about the consequences, turning to drugs, alcohol, drinking, whatever it might be for you. So those are the five deadly D's. So resting in whatever God chooses, knowing that he's for us, he's not against us, is so important, and realizing that this is God's best plan for me at this moment is very important. Otherwise, look at those five deadly D's and guard your heart against falling deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into that pit. God often places us in circumstances that we might not choose for ourselves. I mean, that's just reality. How many times have you been placed in a circumstance that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself, right? I know. But he knows. He knows what we need. We may be called to serve him in the most unlikely places and under the most adverse conditions. We see that with missionaries, right, all the time. Adverse conditions, and they're still serving the Lord with all of their heart and giving him glory, honor, and praise. He wants us to be faithful to him in whatever present circumstance he brings our way. Can I be faithful? Can I be a witness in the midst of that? So she had some scriptures here about Anna, the prophetess, from Luke 2, 36 through 38. She lost a husband, but yet there she was in the temple, seeking the Lord day and night. She was faithful to God. Sure, it was hard for her, you know, to lose a husband, but still she was going to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Acts 9, 36 through 41, we read about Tabitha when she became sick and she died. But God raised her up. Peter raised her from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit raised her up from the dead. Do you think her life was on a pathway that was, man, I'm staying attached to this Jesus. He raised me up from the dead. I was dead. He made me alive again. I'm sure her life was impacted. Like, what's her testimony when we get to heaven? What is she going to tell us, right? Paul, in Acts 20, 22 through 24, he knew the things he was going to suffer. He said, see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. He didn't hightail the other way. He went. He went. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. May we all have a heart like that, that Paul had, for the sake of the gospel. Oswald Chambers, again, and I'll close with this. I could keep going on, but I'm going to close with this. He said, God plants his saints in the most useless places. He puts his saints where they will glorify him, and we are no judges at all of where that is. If you are living the life of faith, you exercise your right to waive your right and let God choose for you. This is where the Lord wants to bring us, to that place where it's like, Lord, I am not in control. I call you my Lord and Savior. Well, as Lord over my life, you lead, you guide, you know what's best. You know better than anyone else. Anyone else, you know better. And I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to trust in you in that way. Queen Esther did that, right? If I die, I die. If I die, I die. The God who knows everything about you, who is ever present, who made all the delicate inner parts of your body, and who has recorded each of your days in his book, is the God who always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. Are you willing to do that? Whatever your trial that you're going through, are you willing to say, Lord, I'm going to let you choose. I'm going to get out of the way and let you be God in the situation. Let you be Lord in the situation so that you can be glorified in the situation. Lord, we do thank you, Jesus, for all the saints that have gone before us that have lived this way. We know it's possible to live this way because there are so many in the scriptures and saints that have gone before us and present-day saints that live this way today. Lord, so keep teaching us how to live a life that's totally surrendered and abandoned to you in this way. and let you choose for us the pathway you want us to walk on for such a time as this. You know why the detours come. You know why you put stop signs before us. You know why you tell us no at times, not now. You know why, Lord. Help us not to question you. Help us not to accuse you. Help us to just rest in knowing that our Father knows best. You know best, Lord, because you see the beginning and the end of a matter. Lord, and help us just to rest in that place, that abiding place with you, in your presence, Lord. Even if it takes us in a tube, Lord, as Kathy Gallagher said, Lord, that we would know that you're with us. You are with us there. You are there, Lord. I know you're there. And I thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We love you for that, Jesus. And we pray that you would just continue to work these truths deep down into our hearts, Lord, so that we can share them with others that you put in our pathway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.